Well, it is good to be back. For those of you that have missed me, and for those of you that haven't missed me, you have to see me, regardless of what you want. Well, it's a pleasure to be back. My wife and I were on a family vacation with all of our children and the grandparents and my wife's brother and their family. So the whole crew went down south, and we just enjoyed our time together. It was sort of like a monumental thing too, because we got to celebrate two things while we were away. One was 15 years of marriage between my wife and myself, which is pretty amazing. Thank you. And the other one was a little less significant, and that was the 11th birthday of our middle son, Nico. Who turned 11, and who is just, as the time goes by, as I look at my kids, as they're growing older, I'm just realizing how older I'm getting, and I don't want to talk about it because I'll get depressed. But one of the things superpowers is when I get down to the sun, when I get exposed to the sun, I get this beautiful tan. And as you can tell, I'll have a little bit of a tan. And my wife likes to dress me sometimes. And she gave me this beautiful coat that matches my tan, which I think is just beautiful. I just get to shine this morning for you, which actually is sort of like the title of my message too. I'm kidding. I'm going to transition into the shining and what title of my message is in a minute. Before I go there, when we went to this vacation, just I have one story to share with you. You will not believe this. This is the first time that we went to vacation and we had a complete blackout in a hotel. We've been to, you know, different places, different times, but this was the first time that we actually, and then I was reminded, because I grew up in a third world country, how lucky we are to just have light and have electricity and you know, sometimes we take these small things for granted. And then when this happened, we were just finishing up for the day, going to our room, about to get ready. And we were just, some people were in a shower in a different room getting ready. And all of a sudden, just everything blacked out. And we did not know what was happening. It was about maybe 3 minutes of chaos, trying to figure out, how do we get the light first? Where's my cell phone? Because it's the only flashlight that I have on me. How do I get around here? We walk through, we open the door in the hallway. Everybody's come out. What is going on? Do you guys have electricity? Nobody has electricity. We look over, and it's a complete darkness all over us. As I looked over, I realized, wait, I have my little Apple Watch, and I know there was a feature on my Apple Watch that has sort of like a flashlight. I've never used it, and this was the first time ever that I opened my Apple Watch and I hit the lamp thing and the flashlight, and boom, there was this light. And all of a sudden, okay, I told my wife, okay, honey, I'm just gonna go to the other rooms, check on the kids, see if they're okay. I'm just navigating myself with my light like this, and I come to the room, I open the door, and there's my oldest one in the shower, stuck. He's like, Dad, what's going on? He's in the middle of it, and I'm like opening the door. Can you see? Okay, so it looks like there's no electricity. The whole resort is off. There's nothing going on. So are you okay? How about you just finish off? I'll just hold the light. Finishing off his thing. Until Grandpa got his cell phone, he had a flashlight. And then I went to the other room, tried to navigate around with my flashlight, and then finally got back. And then we realized that the main part of the hotel all of a sudden just got light, the main area. So I guess they had their own generator or whatever it was. We're like, okay, so at least they have light, so we'll be okay. Let's just try to get ready and just get out of here. And as we were walking, all of a sudden the light came out. Now, actually, we got there, there was light there, and then we realized later on that the light came back into our rooms and we could go back to our rooms. But that was a little bit of a unusual, unexpected situation that we had to deal with, but it had reminded me a lot about a lot of things when it comes to myself, my own Christian life, and how important it is to be the light in this dark world that we live in. And as we go into this walk of lights, today the title of my message is Walk as Lights. walk as lights. And you know, when I thought about this, as we go into the walk of lights, not only to walk through the tunnel of lights, but we are to walk as lights, because really, this is what it's all about. Some of us have some of the things that we're going to be doing this weekend, coming up, and next weekend that may seem insignificant. Some of us will be just standing there and waving at people and maybe shuffling the people as they go through and may not even say a word, but we are to walk as lights. And not only for the walk of lights, but for the rest of our lives. And I realized when this blackout happened, obviously being a reminder of all the bad memories when I had as a child back coming from a third world country, like I mentioned, we had this happen all the time. Even during the war, we would have scheduled electricity. They would shut it out throughout the day. Then we would have it for like 2 hours, and that was the time to do everything. But we all had to come up with the candles, extra light that we had to carry around. And that was just the time that how I grew up. And then I realized, you know, without light, our world, the universe that we live in, it will become, it becomes a state of chaos and a total disorder. And this is why he, God himself, who is light, made light out of darkness. And if we want to go back to the very beginning of creation, we'll realize in Genesis, if you ever studied the Bible from the very beginning, you realize that one of the first, actually the first word that God ever spoke was, "Let there be light." And let's just go back to that verse. I just want to start with that, and we're going to kind of lead through a couple of things that I have here prepared for you this morning. Genesis 1, 1 through 5, it says this, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty." In other words, formless and empty, it was nothingness. "Darkness was all over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." And then the first thing that God ever said was, "Let there be light." I added the emphasis there. And God said, "Let there be light." And then there was light. You see, God saw that the light was good. And then he separated the light from darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And as I was thinking about the message this morning and what I'm going to share with you, I asked myself a question. Am I being a shining bright light in this dark world? And the question that I have for you this morning is pretty well the same. Are you shining bright in your dark world? When I say your dark world, I'm talking about your family, your circumstances, your workplace, whatever you are. Do you shine bright? Or is our light maybe dim? Or even is our light experiencing a little bit of a blackout? Are we experiencing a little bit of a blackout in our life? I had a little bit of a research on what actually light is, and this is what the definition of light is. It is a type of electromagnetic radiation that allows the human eye to see or to make objects visible. It's also defined as a visible radiation to the human eye. And some of the attributes of light, just put down here, there's a lot of them, but some of them are, light is fast. The speed of it travels almost 300,000 kilometers per second, which is crazy fast. Light is a necessity, obviously, with a lot of things happening in the world. Without light, a lot of our world would not be functioning properly. And then light also is dual in nature. It possesses properties of both waves and particles. And if you've ever been in a dark room, and you see the sunlight coming through, you will see the particles of light. You will see the rays of light and how it's created. So it can have a refraction, diffraction, and interference, and it can bend and all these type of things. And I like this part of light, that it's a dual nature, because it sort of represents of us as humans having a dual nature as well, especially Christians having a spiritual nature, having a physical nature, and a spiritual nature, flesh and the spirit. So one more thing about light that we find in the Bible. Actually, let's just move to the Bible and what the Bible talks about the light, the Word of God. It talks about God as being the light. He was the one who was first. It talks about this in a verse. I'm not sure what this verse is. I didn't put the reference, but it says, this is the message that we've heard from him and declared to you, God is light. And in him, there is no darkness at all. Then another reference in the scripture, is it talks about how God is the one who created light. Let there be light. We just read that. And then it talks about in John 1:5, how light overcomes darkness. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And it talks about in John 1, talks about our identity, how we are the children of light. And then in Romans 13:12, one other reference talks about light as being a weapon. It says this, cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. And then Jesus himself, with a lot of things that he has said in the very beginning, he made a statement himself as well. He said in John 8:12, he said, Jesus spoke to them and he said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. Most of the statements that Jesus had made about himself when he went into, I am the bread of life, I am the good shepherd, I am the light, come with the promise. And this one comes with the promise, and the promise is very simple. If you trust in Jesus, and if you put Jesus as the center of your life, you shall not walk in darkness. You will not walk in darkness. You will have the light of life. Which means simply that as we embrace Jesus, we will produce a life of peace, life of joy, not of chaos and darkness. And I want to associate darkness with chaos, which is what happened to us at the resort. It was a chaos of a few minutes, trying to figure out what was going on. And then out of chaos, we have light. Light that just makes us see things. There's no need for us to walk in darkness, in chaos, when we have Jesus in our life. And most people want to find peace for their life, for their souls. They're running in circles, they're tired, they're worn out, they're searching for things to fill them, for things to bring them peace and life to their soul, to make them be at rest. But life is always going to be in a state of chaos without Jesus, who is the light. And here's the big idea that I have. At any given moment, we can move from chaos to light. And this is how. Embracing the light, which is Jesus, will always produce peace in our chaos. Every time we decide to embrace light, who is Jesus Christ, it will always produce peace in our chaos. So Jesus teaches on light in his very first address. And isn't it amazing how God, first words that that God speaks that has been recorded in scripture is, let there be light. But then Jesus comes onto the scene. He comes out of, he grows up. We don't have a lot of things in account of what he has said during that time. But we do have an account when he just was speaking, with the enemy. One of the first conversations that we see, he's talking to the enemy who's trying to tempt him and give him everything. And he says, and he's going back to the enemy saying, no, I'm not going to do that. But then when he comes out of that wilderness experience, he starts speaking to the people that were following him and his disciples, and he starts talking to them about this, blessed, the first few verses are talking about, I have a blank thing, but it's about blessed are those who are blessed life. And then from there on, he moves into this next statement. He calls us two things. He calls us first. He calls us one thing that I'm focused on is he calls us the light of the world. And let's just read this scripture, the scripture from Matthew 5, 14 and 16. This is what he says. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In another translation, it talks about a candle. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, to everyone, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. And there's two analogies that come out of this, as light as being a lamp or a candle, and then us being a light as a city on a hill. And two things that came to my mind is for these two analogies, it's like there's almost a purpose what he was trying to say here. But one of the things is candle, when it comes to candles, because I've been around candles a long period of my life, where electricity would go off, we would find a candle, we would light it, we would put it on the table, and then we would gather around the table. And the interesting thing about the candle is you have to be close to candle to actually see other people's faces. And we were, when there was a blackout happening often, we would be around the table, we'd be talking, praying, chatting, playing games sometimes until the light comes on. But if you step away from the table, the light on the face of people that are stepping on it, and further you go, less you can see the person. So if somebody was trying to be seen or heard us and would want to say something, they would have to come to the table, you can see their face, talk. So this represents, I believe, our inner circle of people, that we are to be the candlelight in our inner circle of people, people that are close with us, people that watch us from close, people that you're rubbing your shoulders with every single day, like people in your home, so that you wouldn't focus yourself, that you're just going to be a city of a hill that goes out there, you're going to be light to everybody else, but you start being the light in your own inner circle first, where you are an example to your own people in your own household, your own spouse, your own children, your own family that you're surrounded with, that you don't just say that you're the light, but you actually act in that way. You're sitting around a table and they can actually see what you do. You don't only pray when you go to church, but you actually pray around the table together. You don't only worship when you are going to church on Sundays, but you actually do it at home. You don't only lead a Bible study as a part of a small group and a part of that, but you're actually doing it at home with your own inner circle. And then the city, which is another analogy, is this, I believe, in these words that Jesus is preaching this, it's an outer circle of people, people that are beyond our inner circle, people that are watching us from distance. And one thing that comes to my mind, obviously, I've been to multiple cities over my lifetime, but one of the cities that I went to was Athens. I don't know if you've ever been to Athens, but there is this, and so some of you have seen it, may never been there, but you've seen a picture of this beautiful thing that's up on a hill. Parthenon is the name for this beautiful thing that was built back in the day, but it's on a hill. And if you Google that thing, you'll see how beautiful that thing looks from wherever you are in the city. Doesn't matter where you go, you can see it. And then I grew up in a city that is, they call it a Serbian Athens, which also has something very similar. It's a fortress that was built first. And you can actually see the fortress from any part of the city, wherever you are, this beautiful city, wherever you are. And if there's a blackout, this fortress will always have a light and you'll be able to see it. It really is beautiful. But that's really what that light is, the city on a hill, is that you can see it from afar. You can see it from distance. So the light that Jesus refers to as us being the light, he speaks identity over us. He says, you are the light to your closest ones and to the ones that are not so close to you. And people are watching you. You are the light. Say, I'm the light. You are the light. See, when darkness seems to cover the world, our light is to shine ever brighter, and we are to be the light in darkness. And there is a lot of darkness in this world. It doesn't take too much for us to just turn around, turn on the news, whatever. We will see darkness all over. But the solution for darkness that God has given us, the solution for darkness in the world, in your own life, at your workplace, in your household, if there is chaos and if there is darkness, the solution for darkness is a light of Christ that has been put in you. That is in you. And I'm going to read one more scripture, Romans 13, 11, 17, talks about darkness and light and how we've transitioned from light to darkness and what that means. And then I'm going to share a couple points with you and we'll be done. I'll try to be on time so that you can get to lunch. This is all the more urgent. This is what it talks about in Romans 13, 11 to 14. For you know how late it is. Time is running out. Wake up, for our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. And now it talks about this. So remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes and put on the shining armor of living, right living. Because we belong to the day. We must live decent lives for all to see. Don't participate in darkness of wild parties and drunkenness, sexual promiscuity, immoral living, quarreling and jealousy. Instead, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. Now, I'm going to just focus on one aspect here from this scripture, but it talks about how we are to clothe ourselves with the light of Christ as Christians, and how we are to put off all the things of darkness. So here's the first point that I have for you this morning. First point is a simple truth that sometimes we forget about, and that is that darkness has been dealt with. It has been dealt with once and forever. And in John 8:12, he says this, "He who follows me," Jesus says, "will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life." You see, you might have heard this before, but I'll say it again. Darkness does not exist. Darkness does not exist. It is simply the absence of light. There's no such thing as the presence of darkness. It's simply darkness is the absence of light. Why is the situation so dark? And you might have heard somebody say, well, they're in just a really dark place, in a dark situation. Why is this the situation in the place so dark? Because there's no light to be shown in that situation. There's no light of Christ. Why is there chaos with what's happening in the Middle East? Because there's no light of Christ. It's shining among the people there, because if there was light, there wouldn't be chaos. See, there was the deep darkness in Romans, but now we have this light of Christ, and the darkness has been overcome. It's been dealt with. Jesus has dealt with it on the cross, and once and for all, we don't have to walk in darkness. We can choose to walk in light. And why is there chaos? Why is there things happening that are bad? It's because there is no light in those situations. Another reason why there's chaos and darkness is because, obviously, there's no light. But what does that mean? That means that there's no source. And without the source, there's no power. When you cut off the source, there's no power. When there is no power in a Christian life, there's really no purpose. So the power that we have in us is the power that's been given to us and promised to us by Jesus himself, the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. And if we are not connected to the power source, which is Jesus himself, our effectiveness, our purpose will be weaned out. Our light may grow dim and may even experience a blackout. And we don't want that. So the darkness has been dealt with. That's the truth. And sometimes the enemy will come to you and tell you, you're in a very dark place. There's nothing you can do right now. You are, it's hard. It's going to be really hard. And you're going through this. Whatever you're going through, this is just the way it is. You just have to accept that. But we know that's not the truth, because the darkness has been dealt with. We can allow the light of Christ to come and to shine light on any situation that we're in, to show us. And we can, with that light, we can overcome the darkness that we may be in. It's been given to us. It's in us. The second point I want to make this morning is that we are on display. It says here in Matthew 5:16, "Let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father." I don't know if you've ever been to One thing that came to my mind is, I don't know if you've ever been to like some big event, and they usually have it on like the sports events, and I've been to a few of them. But I remember last year we took our boys to the sports event. Obviously, it was a basketball game, and the funny thing about my boys was when we got there, we always get the cheapest seats all the way up in the, you know, close to Jesus, you know. Not that they're cheap because they're close to Jesus, it's just they're, you know, out there. But long story short, what happened is when we were there at this game, obviously Raptors were playing against the Nuggets, our favorite two teams, and my two boys were so amazed. First of all, they were talking about the Jumbotron, the big screen that was there. And second of all, they were talking, what if the camera guy actually comes to us and he actually puts us on? And would you not believe it? We got there, when we parked ourselves in this, close to Jesus, this camera guy parked himself right close to us, and he was there ready to record, you know, between the breaks, and he was recording us. Man, that was the experience of a lifetime. We had, game was amazing, Raptors lost. Actually, you know what? That one Raptors actually won. And, which was really good. But what was the bigger excitement is that we were on a Jumbotron, not once, not twice, but three times that night. And the excitement was followed us after the game. The boys called mommy and said, "You will not believe what happened. Did you see us on the TV?" Because sometimes they show those people, right? Now, thankfully, they don't have like the kiss cam in Canada, and you know they got the weird stuff. They got sometimes the camera, the people are dancing. I would probably do pretty well on that one, but my boys were dancing. We had fun. We were on there, and that was a big excitement. But man, I don't know how many millions of people have seen us, but that was the big excitement. And then this thought came to my mind, and I was preparing this message, you know, that we as Christians, we are more than ever before on this Jumbotron of life. Yes. And people are watching us, and people are observing us, and people are, it's weird sometimes when they put some weird people on that Jumbotron, and they're just kind of sitting there, they don't even realize they're on it. Everybody's like, ah, and they're like, what's going on, you know? They don't even realize they're on it. But do you realize that you are on the Jumbotron of life and people are watching every move that you make? And oftentimes, because people are watching, we don't realize that, you know, we have faith and we believe in God and but that is internal. We don't actually, we can just stand there and just sit there like the people in a stadium and just kind of, okay, yeah, I have faith. But nobody will know that you have faith until you act on it and you actually do something good. So I've heard this said before, and you probably have heard it many times, that you may actually be the only Bible that someone is going to read. You may actually be the only sermon that someone is going to listen ever. You may be the only person, the only Christian that someone's going to get associated with, that will either see, read, or hear from you of what your life is about. And based on that, this is the scarier part. Based on that, you may actually deter people from the truth, from the light of Christ. People will actually decide, they will make a decision what they think of Jesus based on how his followers through the world respond, especially when it comes to crisis and issues in the world that are really out there. So yes, we can have faith, and that's okay, but our faith does not show. What shows is our deeds and how we act. So we have to be careful, because we can only shine through our deeds, how we act, what we say, how we behave. And that is our purpose. Our purpose is to show, not just tell, with your deeds. And that actually produces other people to see Jesus themselves. And it says here in the verse, to glorify God as they see our good deeds. They actually are stirred to say, well, God is real. God must exist if these people are acting this way. So Jesus called out a group of people called Pharisees because they were talking about certain things. They were just talking. But then Jesus calls them out. He said, "You brood of vipers, you hypocrites. You're talking about one thing, but you're doing another thing completely, completely off." So we've said this many times. Our actions will speak much louder than our words. But words are important, but action will speak louder. So let's not be hypocrites. Let's just be aware that people are watching us. In John 12:46, he says this, "I have come as light," Jesus says, "into the world so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. They will see the light of our works. They will see the way we walk, the way we talk." And actually, Ephesians 5:8, I really like this verse. It says this, "For you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light." Verse 9, "For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth." Here's three things that you can focus on right now if you want to live a life of light: goodness, righteousness, and truth. And verse 10, "And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them." So this is what we are to do as I mentioned here, as being on a display. We are to look around us, see if there's any darkness, expose it with the light, and just shine a light in every situation that we're in, a light of Christ. And that is the way that people will see that we're his followers. And the third point I want to make this morning as I close off this morning is dress code matters. I talk about the dress code. I know that I have a dress code, and that's because of my beautiful wife. If I didn't have a dress code, I would be walking in darkness. If I didn't have my wife, I'd be in the dark when it comes to dress codes. But talking about the dress code, I'm talking about the spiritual dress code. In Romans 13:4, it says this, simply this, and I just read it again. "Clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires." It's time to clothe ourselves with the light of Christ, with Christ himself. See, once we become Christians, once we put our faith and trust in Jesus, things change. Internally, obviously, our life changes, but everything about us changes. The way we speak, the way we act, how we do things, what we do. We don't walk in darkness anymore. We walk in light. And God talks about this in John, 1 John talks about how God is light, and in him there's no darkness, and we have fellowship with him. So we are to practice and live and walk in this truth of light. You know, we have been chosen by God to be the light, and we are to put off, there's things that we need to put off from our life, and those are the deeds of darkness here. It talks about all of them in Romans that we have read. It talks about wild parties and drunkenness, getting drunk, sexual promiscuity, immoral living. Now, we could talk about this. This could be like, each one of these could be like its own sermon, but I'm just pointing out a few of these. Jealousy, quarreling, arguing, all these things. And he says, just put this off of you and clothe yourself with this presence of Lord Jesus Christ so that you can actually be a light. Is it possible for us to actually reflect darkness? Yes, it is, especially when we partake in these things here that we just read. So we are to wake up every morning, besides our physical clothing that we so carefully choose and so carefully go after, and some of us have a big dilemma of what we're going to wear, whether it's a good event or a bad event, or you know, you go to church, you want to dress well, or you're going somewhere, you're going to a wedding, you better look good. So all these things, we worry about all these dress codes in our own life as we walk through this life, but we are to worry more about this spiritual dress code that we are to, because spiritually speaking, people are watching us. And yes, we can make an impression with our what we wear physically, but we can also make a greater impression with what we are wearing spiritually. And God wants us, Jesus wants us to be this light. You know, in Acts, there's a verse in Acts that where Paul and Barnabas, they made it clear that we are to bring the light to the world. And I'm going to read this verse. It's in Acts 13:47. This is what it says. For this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. This is our purpose. This is our mission, that we are to be the light. And I'm just going to close with one thing that really is important, and that is, if I don't know if you have ever seen an eclipse, you probably, if you've been alive for about 5 years, you've seen an eclipse. But when I say an eclipse, I'm talking about full eclipse. Have any of you guys seen a full eclipse? Can I see your hands? Good. So this is a phenomenon, obviously, we've been a part of, we've seen around. They say actually that this phenomenon happens, not the full eclipse, but it happens throughout the year a couple of times, you know, partial eclipse and all that kind of stuff, where you look at, you are able to go outside and you're able to look at the sun or the moon on the other, and you are able to see, you're able to actually witness something pretty crazy. And I'm just going to try to take sun, S-U-N, and say that is the Son of God, Christ himself, who is the light, who is the ultimate light of life. That's going to be Jesus in this case. We are going to be the moon, which is actually moon. As hard as it is for you to understand, moon always has light, and that is because of the sun, unless something gets in the way. And let's talk about this for a moment. So we are the moon, and I don't know, just recently, like last month, I was driving down, and it is a beautiful sight as you're driving down at night when it's a full moon, and when it's this large full moon, when it's reflecting the sun. The sun is down on the other side of the planet, but this moon is shining so bright that I went in my backyard, it's pretty dark usually, and you see, you almost see light there because of the moon that's reflecting this sun. So you and I are like that moon. We are to reflect the sun to everyone around us, so that when darkness does come, and darkness is all around us, we are reflecting that light of Christ to others. But what happens oftentimes, and there's two eclipses that happen. There's a solar eclipse, you probably heard that before, and there's a lunar eclipse. Now, lunar eclipse is worse because this occurs when the earth, the world, comes between the sun and the moon, and then it blocks the sun's rays from directly reaching the moon. And that happens rarely, but it happens when the earth comes in between, and there's no light coming down to earth. And sometimes this happens to a Christian. The world will get in the way, and we will lose that light of Christ. The eclipse will occur, and there's not going to be light from a Christian to shine. And we have to be careful that that doesn't happen. And what we also have to be careful about, that the solar eclipse is different. It happens when the moon passes between the earth and the sun, blocking all the part of the sun's light, which means that sometimes we can get ourselves in front of the sun and get all the beautiful sunshine to us and not even worry about the world and what's going on there. And it will also be a problem by blocking the light. So we have to be careful about those eclipses not to happen in our lives. What we have to do is we have to always get in front of the sun and get exposed to the sun so that we can have that effectiveness that Jesus wants us to have while in this world. And I just want to challenge you this morning. I want to ask you, just look around. How can you be the light in that situation, whatever that situation may be? You may be surrounded with a lot of situations. You may be having somebody, some of your close family or friends, or they're going through something, some darkness. How can I be a light there? How can I be a light in my home? How can I be a light in my work? How can I shine the light of Christ to people around me? And as we go into the walk of lights, How can I walk as a light? So that even people will be impressed with what's happening and the story that we put up. And that story is all about the light of Christ coming into the world, given for us. But how can I, as a Christian, walk in light and be the light continuously and never lose that brightness that God wants me to have daily? Let us all stand. I want to pray for you this morning. But it's incredible what happens when we expose ourselves to the sun. It's just amazing. Obviously, we've heard from scientists a lot, you know, vitamin D, the sun is good for you, it's good for your mental health, it's good for your whatever health you, you know, just being exposed to the sun, talking about the benefits of the sun and all this stuff. And spiritually speaking, that is the same thing in our own life. As we expose ourselves to the sun, who is Jesus himself, we will see a lot of things in our life start making sense. We will see a lot of darkness around us flee and disappear because we see it with the light of Christ. So I want to pray for you so that you would, this morning, first of all, that you would experience the light of Christ again and again in your life, that you would expose yourself to the sun as often as you can, but then that same sun that you receive, you wouldn't just keep it to yourself, but you would actually just shine and be the light that Jesus is calling you to be. Shine in that dark situation, shine in that crisis, shine in that chaos, and see how God can do miracles, how God can move. I'm going to pray for you this morning. If you want to be included in this prayer, you can just raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Father God, thank you for this amazing message that we are the light of Christ and that we are to project your light to the world around us, the lost world around us. It's full of darkness and chaos. I pray that we would be able to, obviously, in our own life, always walk from chaos to light as we expose ourselves to you, because your word is the lamp to our feet. You are the one that we look to when we need to see light. Jesus, so, and I pray that you would help us and you would use us to be the same light to everyone around us. Whatever we go and whatever we do, we would be the light of Christ. When people look at us, they would see you, Jesus. They would see your light shining in us, and that they would be stirred to glorify you, to give their life to you as a result of our good deeds that shine bright in this dark world. Bless everyone this morning. Encourage everyone this morning. If anybody is in a crisis, and if anybody is being, if the enemy is surrounding with darkness, I just pray that you would just expose that, and there will be light that would just come and shine. Bring peace.